Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my co-host, Doug McCary. Doug, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good. It's just ready for some cooler weather. It is almost middle of October, and it's still hot.
I was getting out of the car a little while ago, and I was thinking, man, where is the cool weather? I'm ready, and I'm not complaining. I mean, I'm just saying it's a little toasty out here.
It is. It's toasty, and man, I'm ready for a little breeze and a little cooler weather. Hopefully, it's coming through. I heard that on the west it was coming. Man, it's terrible about those wildfires out there, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
I don't know if one of our friends, I think I told you yesterday, a close friend of ours, son is a police officer out there, and he sent a video. It was awful. I mean, just the whole city, man. Half the city, he said, was just burned down. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, it's 11 deaths already, I think it is. But it is pretty amazing. I was thinking last year about this time, I think, was when Matthew was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm pretty close. I know it was 1st of October, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. But Cody, good to have you back, too, buddy. How was your trip?
Good. He says, fantastic. That's good. Fantastic. First airplane ride. That's good. Well, you know, there's the world in which we live. You know, it continues to expose different things, and you know, this Harvey Weinstein thing is big because it's really affected a lot of different people. But it just again goes back to whether it's the Las Vegas shooter or whatever it is, it reveals the evilness in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, a lot of people think they can hide things, but they eventually come out. I mean, they really do. Very rarely does it not come out.
Mm-hmm.
Now it says all these Hollywood stars are coming forward to accuse Harvey of rape and harassment and all these different things, which he's been part of a lot of elite circles for quite a while. And, you know, I pray for him. I think we should pray for him, pray that God would basically be real to him, that he would maybe be open to hear what the gospel is at this point. That's what
kingdom,
we should do.
Kingdom opportunities.
It is. The kingdom opportunities. And, you know, the world in which we live is filled with broken people. And our response a lot of times is not based on Christ living in us, because we tend to look at them very judgmentally and point a finger, and we forget that we too
were some of you.
Yeah, Paul says, man, that's just so convicting, those words, such were some of you. And we were. I mean, we're, you know,
I don't know if you've ever read Paul David Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
He uses a great analogy. We have a tendency to look at the world through it's almost like we've got a camera, and we're on the side that we're looking out toward everybody else, and mm-hmm. we see the sin everywhere else, but we never turn the camera on ourselves and see that we are just as vile, just as wretched, forgiven.
We are forgiven, and we were not forgiven just to have a passport stamp, to have a one-way ticket to heaven. We were forgiven to be ambassadors of hope,
mm-hmm.
to even the likes of a Harvey Weinstein, or even the likes of, you know, it doesn't matter what they've done, because we're all guilty of the death of Christ. Had there been one person who would not have sinned, then Jesus would not have had to die. But mm-hmm. he did die
mm-hmm.
to pay the penalty for all our sins. And, you know, I think it's just real easy to come down on people, to judge people. instead of praying for people.
Yeah. I was going to say, how does that truth impact the way we live?
So what, to use your phrase?
Exactly.
You know, I'm really struck. If you read through the New Testament and you look at Jesus, or even going back to that example I gave yesterday, going back to Kings and looking at Ahab, when Ahab repented, it says that God had mercy on him. Ahab, the most evil king in Israel, and God had mercy on him. And so we pray for Harvey Weinstein to repent. We pray that somehow the gospel of Jesus Christ would penetrate. You know, there's quite a few people in Hollywood who profess to love Jesus. I believe God has people out there that are his.
Yeah.
Just like he has people in different places. And maybe one of those will have contact with him and can take the gospel message to him. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if
be great.
If he repented? So as we get into our study again of Matthew 8, again, we just have to come back to this question of how bad do we want to be like Jesus? That was a dominating theme of the disciples, so much so that they followed him. Yes, they departed him in the night before he was crucified, both to fulfill what Jesus said and because they were scared, probably. And it didn't make sense to them. And, you know, we were having lunch today with a couple of guys, and the guy said, it's confusing, isn't it? It really is when you stop and think about it. It's so hard for us to put all this stuff in a nice little box. That's one reason the Bible, to me, is so believable, because it's full of flawed people who are just, you know, kind of wandering, responding to God and his invitation in different ways. And these unlikely men end up changing our world. Because they wanted to be like Jesus. They really did. And they saw him. They saw him crucified. They saw him do miracles. They saw him crucified. They saw him resurrected. And they were willing to lay down their lives. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we really want to be like him? Do we really believe we can be like him? Because I think that's an issue, too, for a lot of us. Well, you know, he hasn't really called me to, you know, share my faith. That's for other people to do. There are people that believe that's really the professionals. That's the pastors. That's the people on staff at a church. No, the Bible says that we're all priests. Every believer's a priest. We're all ambassadors.
That's right.
And we were all bought with a price. And what God is calling us to do is to be his disciples. He says, go make disciples, teaching them to obey what's convenient, right? Isn't that what he says? Teaching them to obey what I can work into my schedule. No, I don't think he says that. He says, teaching them to obey all that I command, and I'm with you always. And so,
you know, I think, Doug, just that's one of my favorite verses, is it's easy to pass over that last statement. Lo, I'm with you always. Because the fact of the reality of making disciples is nerve-wracking for a lot of men. You know, speaking into the life of another man. Mm-hmm. You know, how am I going to do this? I'm not equipped to do this. And Jesus says, I'm with you.
Well, I think for a lot of people, they have this misconception that they have to have their whole life in order for them to be in a journey of leading another person to follow Jesus. And you don't, you know, the disciples, do you realize how many times they stuck their foot in their mouth after they were following Jesus for quite a while? I mean, you look at Philip, look at Thomas, you know, well, Lord, which way do we go? We'll follow you. Just show us. Well, have I not already shown you? And Thomas, I'm not going to believe till I can stick my fingers in the wounds. I got to stick it in his hands aside. And blessed are you because you believe because you've seen, but blessed more are those who haven't seen and believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we've got to remember that Jesus believes in us. He believes we can be like him, and he wants us to be like him. And I think for a lot of us, we really don't understand that he believes in us because of things people have told us, because of mistakes we've made, because of, you know, maybe we don't feel as articulate as some people who can stand up and clearly articulate things. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's some really smooth talkers in the world that don't have the foggiest idea of what it means to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're misleading a lot of people down a broad path that leads to destruction. But God has called us to make disciples. And remember, you didn't choose him. He chose you. He chose you. And I love that saying of Ray Vanderlaan. He says, you can't say, I can't be a disciple. You just can't. You can say, I won't be a disciple. Mm-hmm. But you can't say, I can't be. Because if he can take Brad, he can take me, he can take the people he's used, he can take you.
Well, that's why I love, we hit on this a long time ago on one of our SWAT broadcasts, where Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men.
I love that, Matthew 4. Mm-hmm. That's one of my life verses. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm speaking at the Gathering of Men breakfast down in West Palm tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but Thursday. And that's what I'm going to be sharing.
It's good.
That's Matthew. I will make you fishers of men if you what? Follow me. He says, follow me and I will make you. And that's just, it can't be any simpler than that. And, you know, if you look at the disciples, it was a process. And I think that's part of the problem for us. We're so quick result oriented in our culture. And now you can order something on Google and Amazon and have it the next day. That's
great.
I mean, you can order anything, and that's the way we're geared. But that's not what happens. And as an adult, sometimes you think because you're maybe wise in the ways of the world, that when you read the Bible and you understand the language that it's written in, you know, you should just automatically have a grasp of the spiritual truths, but it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. You have to go through a growth process. You start off learning by eating, you know, just having milk.
Well, we've been on this topic of the soils.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you throw a seed out tomorrow, you're not going to see a fruit tomorrow the next day.
Mm-hmm.
There is a process, a long process.
There is, and it takes a while for it to grow and go through trials that mm-hmm. really reveal the type of soil that it's planted in.
Yep.
And so, hey. SWAT Radio app. You can listen to all these past programs, Google Play Store, also the App Store. And we'd love to have you go back. It's by topic. You go back by topic. You can read all, hear all these past programs. And we'd love for you to call in today, too.
Absolutely. Call us 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, we'd love to hear from you as well. 1-844-777-7928 SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by Caduceus Consulting. As holistic wealth managers, the Caduceus Consulting leaders manage and help safeguard assets for physicians and healthcare professionals. In addition to wealth management, some of the other services offered by Caduceus include practice management consulting, risk management and asset protection, contract review and negotiations, malpractice defense strategies, and regulatory and licensure defense. As a result, they can focus on their patients and dive into their jobs and serve others, bringing goodwill to our world. More information on Caduceus Consulting is available at 904-223-0130 or online at caduceusconsulting.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. I almost started singing as we came back in there.
Makes you want to sing, doesn't it?
It does. Welcome back. SWAT Radio, Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. You know, Doug, I was thinking about the fact that, yeah, how many people are out there who profess Christ who don't believe they've actually got some ministry? It's one of the things I think if we have Christ, we have a ministry. You know, I was thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we've been entrusted with this message.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you telling that message? Who are you talking to?
Well, he said we've been called to the ministry of, entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah.
That's his ambassador. That's what an ambassador does.
That's what Jesus did.
An emissary from the kingdom they represent. To somebody that kingdom is either at war with or potentially at war with, to go and bring about a peace settlement.
Well, and that's what it says, verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. And then it says, God making his appeal through us.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about coming into his family and his kingdom for that purpose, It's vastly different than coming in just to say, I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the not going to hell is a byproduct. I mean, the being in heaven with our Father is a byproduct of, I mean, it's not for the future as much as it's for now. We are supposed to be in relationship with him. We were created to be in relationship mm-hmm. with him, to be dependent upon him. And as he called these followers to follow him, and he taught them, and now he's out doing miracles, and people, other people are wanting to follow, he kind of lays out, you know, what it really means to follow him, and he calls us to weigh that, and that's what we've been looking at in Matthew 8, 18 through 22, parallel passage over in Luke 9, 57 to 62, but the first thing we weigh he has these three people that come up to him. The first one's mm-hmm. a teacher who says, I'll follow you anywhere. And he says, really? Well, the birds have nests, you know, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So he's calling us to weigh the genuineness of our pursuit in following him. How genuine is it? Because true discipleship isn't comfortable at mm-hmm. all. And so the second guy is just, it says another disciple who says first. And there's no third guy in Matthew. You have to go over to Luke to that account of it to see the third guy. But the third guy says the same thing first.
Yeah, let me first.
They both say first, but his response to them is a little different. In the first case, he says, you know, the first guy says, hey, first let me go bury my dad. Now, that is a Middle Eastern phrase that is used to convey to somebody that my priority is I can't do what you've asked me to do right now. I'm going to stay at home until my father dies and I take care of the family
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
until he dies and I will bury him and then I can do it. It's a phrase that means I can do it. I'll do it, but I'm going to do it later.
And what Jesus, on my terms.
Yeah. Well, on my timetable.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus makes a clear statement of, hey, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You go proclaim the kingdom, he says over in Luke 9:60. You go proclaim the kingdom. In other words, this is a priority right now. And so the godliness of our priorities is something we have to weigh too in following Jesus. How godly are the priorities that we are living out in our life? Because it doesn't matter what you say, mm-hmm. it's what you do. You can say all day long you love God and he's a priority in your life. But when people look at your checkbook, when people look at your calendar, when people look at what you spend the majority of your time doing, how much of that reflects a love for God.
What you say.
And what you say, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the third guy says, hey, let me first go to my home and say goodbye. And Jesus says, hey, you're not fit for the kingdom if you put your hands to the plow and you look back. In other words, this is not something you're wanting to go back to where you're from. You know, if that's your mentality, you're not fit to be doing this. That's what he says to the guy. So the gravity of our passion, how bad do you really want to follow Jesus? How bad do you want to be like Jesus? You don't look back. I think of Lot's wife, you know, mm-hmm. She was told not to look back. The problem in her looking back wasn't just some superficial thing. It was a yearning to go back to where she was. And I think that's what Jesus is really addressing, the yearning for the security of that home where mom and dad is, the yearning of not being here, but thinking back, always looking back. And so the children of Israel had a problem with that. Every time, you know, when they left, they kept wanting, if we could only go back to Egypt, if we could only eat the fish, all those things. And so today we're looking at that first thing, the first person, that teacher, where, you know, God calls us to weigh the genuineness of our pursuit and following him. And we kind of expounded on that, and we started looking at Mark 4, 1 through 20, the parable of the sower and the soils. And yesterday we brought out the fact that parables were used in the Old Testament for judgment. They were used to bring conviction. And in the New Testament, when Jesus gave this teaching, all the listeners would have recognized the elements of the story, except the last part where the soil produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And there's three bad soils and three good soils. And the three bad soils, we said, are the hard heart, the superficial heart, the crowded heart. And then the three good soils are all a changed heart, but with different amounts of fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at yesterday the sower being the Jesus in the story, but it's also every believer, because who lives in us?
Christ.
If you're a believer, it's Christ in you, Paul says. Mm-hmm. I've been crucified with Christ, not I, but Christ
lives in me.
So Christ in us, we're the sowers. Christ is the sower, we're the sowers. And what's the seed? It's the word. And the word we said was logos. And over in John, it's in the beginning was the logos word, and the logos word was with God, it was God.
Yep.
And in verse 14, it mm-hmm. says, like you just said, mm-hmm. it became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the seed is the gospel. And we read through 1 Corinthians 15, which is a great account of the gospel from Paul. But then I also read over in Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. And in both cases, one thing that is really stands out, Brad, is in 1 Corinthians 15, twice it says, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. And over in Luke 24:27, when Jesus reveals himself to the two men on the road to Emmaus, it says he began with Moses and the prophets, and he began to reveal who he was to them from the scriptures. Their scriptures were the Old Testament. And it's always struck me that, you know, I don't know why, but there's not a big emphasis on people reading the Old Testament. I remember, you know, a lot of times people just get you to go to the New Testament. And the Old Testament is about double the size of the New Testament. And I don't know, I know we as men like to get to the bottom line of the story. And I do that too. I tell people to go because the New Testament talks about Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But for the Jewish person, they had been looking for Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They had been looking for the deliverer, the one who would be like Moses. And it says that when Jesus taught them about that, their hearts burned within them. And the word when it takes root in a good soil is always going to produce fruit. It will always produce fruit. And, you know, there's lots of discussion about, well, can you be a believer and not have fruit in your life? Can you believe? You know, people have these kind of discussions all the time. Well, I think you can. It's just confessing, because that's what it says in one verse. If you confess with your mouth, it does say that. But it also talks about what happens if there's no fruit in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus tells this particular parable and says, if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand all of the parables. Remember, parables were about judgment, and they revealed, they were hidden from people that had rejected Christ and continued to reject Christ mm-hmm. to a point where he said, okay, you've rejected so long, now I'm rejecting you. And that sounds cold and heartless, but he didn't reject them for many, many times, but he came, he did miracles, and they just continued and continued to reject them. And so I said this in one of the SWOT studies one time, that true believers, they always see the signs. But the skeptics, they are always seeking signs. And Jesus said, you seek a sign, you're not going to get a sign. This is the sign of Noah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jonah.
Jonah, yeah.
The sign of Jonah, which is 3 days, 3 nights,
mm-hmm.
symbolizing the 3 nights that Jesus spent in the tomb and he came back. And so in this parable of Mark 4, when we're looking at the sower and the seeds and now the soils, the hard heart is where that is, that first soil that is the seed falls on and a bird comes and takes it, and they're scratching their heads going, what does that mean? And Jesus said, that's the person indifferent to the gospel. That's where Satan comes along and snatches it away before it has time to root, take any kind of root. And so when we come back from our break, I'm going to have you read through again, not the whole thing, but read through just the explanation part of the gospel in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is explaining the parable. He explains the parable to the disciples. Actually, I'll have you start in 13 and go down mm-hmm. to 20. And so he's already told the parable. A farmer, I'll just summarize it real quick. Farmer or sower throws out seed. Some falls on a hard path, and a bird comes along and eats it. Some falls on rocky soil, and it sprouts up and grows. But sun comes out, and when the sun comes out, because it has no depths of soil, it wilts and it goes away, and it produces nothing. Then one falls on thorny soil, and the thorn grows up, and it chokes it out, and it doesn't produce fruit. But then one falls on good soil, and it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that's what he tells. And then they say, well, what does that mean? And when we come back, that's what you're going to
explain. Good stuff. Join us today. SWAT Radio, you can tune in at on our website, www.swatradio.com. You can download the app. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, any of those places. And we'd love to hear from you today. Call us 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone. Listener supported. The Truth.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Vice President Pence is visiting fire-ravaged Northern California today. He calls the loss of 13 lives heartbreaking. And the vice president laments the loss of so much property.
More than 2,000 homes and businesses destroyed, tens and thousands of more in harm's way.
Pence says President Trump has approved a disaster declaration for Northern California as the fires rage out of control in wine country. Hundreds of miles to the south, thousands have been displaced by a wildfire that's destroyed or damaged 24 buildings, including homes, in Orange County. But Cal Fire Division Chief Steve Beach says the weather has taken a turn for the better.
The strong offshore wind or the Santa Ana winds that we saw yesterday have started to peter out. We're going to go back into what we feel is a very mild onshore flow starting this afternoon. Actually, it's starting to occur right now, which presents a little bit different issue for us on the eastern side of this fire.
The blaze spread over nearly a dozen square miles in less than 24 hours. Also at SRNNews.com, don't take it too seriously. The White House asked about President Trump's suggestion that he would score higher on an IQ test
and Secretary of State Tillerson.
The president certainly never implied that the Secretary of State was not incredibly intelligent. He made a joke, nothing more than that.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders also asked about whether Senator Bob Corker should step down.
I think that's a decision for Senator Corker and the people of Tennessee, not for us to decide.
That from today's White House news briefing a few minutes ago. On Wall Street, stocks remain mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 46 points, while the NASDAQ Composite Index is down 2, the S&P trading 4 points higher. This is SRN News.
9B south of 295, we have a crash right there. Another one, 295 north before US 17. Disabled vehicle, Butler, the west ramp from Hodges. And a crash, 95 north is at Emerson. Partly cloudy skies and mild, 73 tonight, 88 tomorrow and Thursday, 86 Friday.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. This awesome Tuesday afternoon, about 100 degrees out here in Jacksonville. But we're looking forward to a little cold weather coming
yes,
soon.
Yes, we are.
One of these days. Let's see, I'm going to pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. We'll go through 20. We're looking at the, it's really Jesus explaining the parable.
Yeah, what I just shared in a synopsis, he explains that to him.
So he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Verse 20, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
Hmm. So Jesus explains to them, you know, what the sower is, the seed is. He tells them very plainly, but there's not a lot really of adjectives used to relate to either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But he does talk about the soil itself. And, you know, the first soil is that hard soil, that hard heart. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's such a struggle to, you know, we get so frustrated when family members, close friends, they reject the gospel. They reject it, and we can't understand why, because we've bought into it, and we believe in it, because our minds have not been blinded. And, you know, when somebody has been blinded, it makes me think of 2 Corinthians 4, where it says Satan blinds the minds of those. In fact, that's a great passage. He's describing basically why is the soil hard? Why is it that Satan comes along and snatches away? Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world, meaning Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so when you think about that, you don't need to take it personally when people reject the gospel from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it should break our hearts. Jesus wept, I think, as he looked out over Jerusalem. I mean, he Oh, Jerusalem, I want to take you in. I want you. He yearned for his people to respond. And doesn't mean we just flippantly disregard them. We should pray for them. But we need to understand that Satan has blinded some people, and that's a hard heart. And like we were talking about the other day, on the scale of a continuum, thinking a hard-hearted person who wants nothing to do with Jesus, those are not the people that you offer the grace message of Jesus to, because they don't even see a need in their life for mm-hmm. that. So with those people, it's like you said yesterday, you break up the ground. You have to till hard ground. You mm-hmm. have to till it and break it up with a plow, break it up with something. And that's what the law is for.
Those, it's got to be something sharp.
Yeah, down in it there. Is. And those are the people that you take the law to. You tell them, have you ever broken any of the Ten Commandments? You know, have you ever stole anything? Have you ever lied? Have you ever hated anybody? Because Jesus said that's like murder. Have you ever lusted after a woman? Because Jesus said that's like committing adultery. Have you ever had something your neighbor wanted that you wanted really bad, that you just, it bothered you that they had it and you wanted it? Have you worshiped God as a priority of your life every day? Every day?
Hmm. Every moment of every day.
Have you put anything before him? You know, have you ever taken his name in vain? Just flippantly said his name for no reason? Those are all things that the hard heart, they hears that. And hopefully, if the Spirit is working, he will take that and will begin to till up that and make that ground soft. Now, there may be some rocks in there that it has to till out, some thorns that it has mm-hmm. to till out. But you don't take a grace, message to somebody who's hard-hearted, because they're just going to trample on it. They don't even see a need in their life for it. But the hard heart, you hit them with the law. But that's that first soil, and it's a hard-hearted soil. And Jesus said that Satan comes along and he takes it. And these are the people, Brad, that you say, hey, you know what? We're doing a SWAT meeting or a Bible study, and we'd love for you to come. No, not interested. It's not interested. I don't really need that. And I've had people in my life tell me, hey, you know, that may work for you, but I don't need mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And so all you can do is throw it out there and hope and pray that God will soften their hearts and will work in them to have a conversation, but they may not. And so what do you do? I think sometimes the enemy gets us so focused on some of those people that we don't attend to people where there is good soil. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it's not that we shouldn't pray for them, but we end up spending a lot of time trying to convince people.
Casting pearls before swine.
Sometimes we do. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's another soil, and that's the superficial heart. That's that rocky ground, and it's not ground with pebbles in it, but I want you to think of big pieces of limestone and mm-hmm. how, you know, sometimes underneath what looks to appear as like good soil, it's really rocky, about a quarter of an inch deep, maybe a half inch deep. And so that seed will take root on top of the limestone in that soil, but it doesn't have deep roots that really get moisture from down deep.
Yeah, those roots go down, hit that limestone, and basically come back.
Yeah, and so they're not drawing moisture. Mm-hmm. And that's what the scripture says, because they don't have no root in of themselves. And when the sun comes out, and I think it's interesting that he tells us what the sun is. The sun is tribulation and persecution because of the word, because of the logos, because of Jesus, because of the gospel. So when that persecution and temptation, tribulation comes out because of the word, it wilts. And you know, I used this analogy in the SWAT meeting the other day that, I want you to picture these landscape bowls. You know, you see these fountains that have a big bowl and then a smaller bowl, mm-hmm. and then a smaller bowl, and a tiny bowl up top. We're that tiny bowl up top. And Jesus said in John 7:37, anyone who's thirsty, come to me, and out of you will flow what?
Living water.
Living water. And then he says what the living water is. It's the Holy Spirit. And so if we're not drinking deeply and daily from Jesus, we're never going to overflow to that next bowl. Hmm. And that next bowl is our family. And if we're not drinking deeply and daily, we're not going to overflow to the next bowl, which is friends and people we may be working with or going to school with. And that last bowl is people we don't even know. And sometimes what we want to do is try to take water from the top bowl and pop right down to the last bowl because it's a lot more convenient. But who sees who we really are more than anybody? It's our family,
yep.
our friends, people close to us. And if we have good soil, when we go through tribulation and persecution, what happens is because our roots are deep into Jesus, and there's moisture there because we drink deeply from him, people see that there's a faith like Job had, that even though the world around us is falling apart, we don't deny Jesus. We cling tighter to him. We don't want to go away from him. We want to cling to him. Mm-hmm. We don't curse him like Job's wife said to do. We cling to Jesus.
And it reveals, Doug, the genuineness
of our faith. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It proves itself.
You're exactly right. It does. And so, but this superficial heart looks like the real thing. I mean, and this is what's so confusing in our culture, because there's a lot of stony ground hearers out there, a lot of thorny soil hearers mm-hmm. out there, and they look like the real thing. They're popping up in their little sprouts, and all these sprouts look alike, and you can't tell what's in the good soil mm-hmm. and what's in the bad soil until the tribulation, the persecution comes, mm-hmm. until the thorns come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is sharing this with his disciples because he wants them to know, hey, there's going to be people that look like a true disciple, and they may walk like a true disciple for a little while, but then they're going to fall away mm-hmm. because they're not really true disciples. And I think of John 6, where that passage where he gives them this hard teaching and they turn away, and he turns to Peter and says, Peter, are you going to follow them too? Are you going to go away? And what does he say?
Where am I going to go?
He goes, Lord, because why? Because you are the only thing that can give me, can quench my thirst,
you,
Lord.
You are my source.
You are my source of water, my source of life. You're it. And so when we come back, we're going to take a look at that crowded heart that he talks about, the thorny soil. All right.
Excellent. Well, listen, join us. We will take some calls. If you want to join us, call us 904-401-1413. If you're outside Jacksonville, call us toll free at 1-844-777-7928.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. It's about to do a little air guitar there. It's always fun to get on these breaks, you know, kind of see what's going on here. But so this soil, I was thinking also about the two builders, you know, the two houses. Same storm, two different houses. How do they hold up in the storms? And you know, it's like this, the seed that takes root in the ground, in the rocky soil or in the thorny soil, you know, it's eventually going to burn off or get choked out.
Yeah, it is. When you think of the, I tell you where my mind went was to John 6, where all these people are following Jesus. I mean, great crowds followed him, and he always seemed to go away from the crowds, which is so completely diametrically opposed to our culture of ministry in our country. We want crowds. We attract crowds. Mm-hmm. But he went away. He focused on the few. He focused on, because he focused on the depth, really, with people rather than the breadth of people. But all these people are following him in John chapter 6. And he said, the only reason you're following me is you just want me to feed your bellies.
You want some more fish.
You just want free food.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, hey, come on, we're going to give you free food so you can hear about Jesus. I mean, you know, I'm just saying it's just
true.
It is so, Jesus did things so different. And I think somewhere along the way, we try to help God instead of following his plan and following how he does it and following his model. And
well, that's why I like that you pointed out that you don't see any description of the sower himself.
No.
You know, it's not like, man, he was a good-looking guy or
trained or untrained. Trained,
man, what a great communicator. And I'm not discounting those gifts and the training of that. But
where's the emphasis? It's on the soils.
Oh, exactly.
It is not on the sower. It's not on the seed. It's on the soils. And you know, I said, I think the other day, 10 times in Mark chapter 4, listen, you know, he who has ears to let him hear. Mm-hmm. There's an emphasis on listening. And Jesus is trying to let people know, you need to understand, there's going to be people that look like the real thing initially, but they're not the real thing. And so this third group of hearers, the ones who are like seeds sown among thorns, at first they seem to even make good progress. You know, they pop up and they're going, and then all of a sudden it says, what, the worries of life. What is the worries of life, Brad? What is that?
You know, I think of just family things. I think of work things.
Wait, family? I think of family. Isn't that a good thing, though?
Well, yeah, could be. Can be.
The worries of the world. As a father, what dominates the worries in your heart most of the time as a father?
The welfare of my children.
Have you really worried about how effective you can be sharing the gospel? Have you really worried about how effective you are in following Jesus? Or do most of our worries come back to, man, I got to put my kid through college.
Are they getting a good education?
Or am I, you know, how am I going to, you know what? I'm going to have three daughters driving in a few years. How am I going to afford three cars for them? By the way, who said we had to buy them a car anyway?
That's right.
You know, I mean, you see what I'm saying? Oh, all of our worries tend to be geared toward things that have such a temporal basis.
That the world tells you need.
Yes. And even, you know, Jesus said, you know, look at the birds. Look at the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Do I not provide for them? And they don't ask. I just provide for them. And I care more for you than I do them. And yet the worries of the world, that's what is a thorny weed that grows up and it chokes out because the soil isn't good in the heart. We have that worry that we've stuffed down deep inside of us, and we on the surface we tell everybody, you know, Well, I'm doing great. But we never have a real authentic conversation mm-hmm. with somebody where we say, man, I'm really worried about this. And then they hold us accountable by saying, but you know what God says? You say you're a believer. God says in his word that you aren't to worry about that. You know, and when a believer challenges you in that regard and you go, but how do I not worry about that? Well, are you spending time in the word?
Mm-hmm.
Because the more you know Jesus, the more you trust him. The more you trust him, the less you worry. The reason you worry is you don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's meddling with people right there. That is
those
saying
are fighting words
you don't right understand there. My situation.
Right.
You don't understand what I'm going through. Really? Really? I know plenty of people who have things a whole lot worse than you do. And yet they trust God with a joy in their heart, and they know that whatever they experience in life, they experience it because that's the place God wants them to be as they journey through life, and they trust him to provide what they need to accomplish what he wants them to accomplish. The problem for us in America is so often we don't like the standard that God may want us to live by, and we want other things in our life than he may want. So what we're really worried about, is God's plan going to be different than my plan?
Yeah.
And if it is, you know, I don't really know if I'm ready for that.
Which it will be. His plan will certainly be different than your plan.
Yeah, it is. It most certainly will be.
But I love that, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Not some things, but in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God, and then the peace of God will surpass all understanding.
Yeah, he also
and it
says,
will guard your heart
in Christ Jesus.
In Christ.
And he also says, I've learned to be content with a little or a lot. What he's saying is, if God chooses to bless me with millions of dollars, or whether he wants me to go live in the homeless shelter mm-hmm. or on the road,
mm-hmm.
I've learned to be content, not in what I have, but who I know.
Well, it goes to identity.
Mm-hmm.
Where is my identity? Because if my identity's built in how well my kids are doing, how my job's going, what position I hold, we're going to be very disappointed.
1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. And what is the world? It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. In one translation, it says, what a man has and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what you're talking about.
I think what you quoted, Paul, you know, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. You know, what's the secret? It's Christ.
It's
Christ in me.
It's resting in him and trusting in him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what Jesus is saying is the cares of the world or worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. You and I both have had the opportunity to witness and be around people who have been very, very, very blessed financially, but who are very, very, very miserable on the inside because they don't have Jesus. And that is the deceitfulness of riches. When you look at a Bill Gates, or you look at a or Steve Jobs, I should say, Steve Jobs, because Steve Jobs, you can see at the end of his life, he made some statements about his life. As wealthy as he was, that it couldn't buy him what he really wanted.
It was empty.
It was empty. Many athletes, you see, how many rock superstar, you know, people with lots of money, rock people, singers, performers, take their own life. For whatever reason, you know, because they're empty on the inside. They're struggling on the inside.
I like that he uses that word, deceitfulness.
It's deceitful.
It's deceptive.
Yeah.
Riches are deceptive.
Well, they are because they give people that possess these riches a false sense of security and thinking, okay, I mean, especially in our culture today, if you all of a sudden came into $1 million tomorrow, at least let me speak for me, because
I've got a
speak
house
for,
sell.
It, well, yeah, no. But I'm saying that if I came into $1 million tomorrow, my first thoughts would be, okay, cars paid for, college paid for. I'm starting thinking of my security and mm-hmm. how that's going to be used to take care of what I perceive as my needs. And it gives you this false sense of security when maybe a week from now I may not even be here. Or one of the things that I think I really need may be for something that I don't even won't have a need for. And so this false sense of security is really the deceitfulness of riches. But then it says, and the desire for other things. And I find that interesting that he puts that. This is basically an all-inclusive statement that says everything that chokes out the word of God, the hope of the gospel that's in me, and keeps it from being productive. So that pretty much covers everything.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
if you place anything else above the gospel in your life as a believer, anything else above being called to pass that on to other people, then maybe you've got thorny soil that the gospel has taken seed in. And like I said yesterday, just because you have stony grounds or stony soil, or because you have thorny soil now, doesn't mean it has to stay stony soil.
Absolutely not.
Ask God to take the thorns out of and the weeds out of your soil, the rocks out of your soil. Ask him, Lord, plant in me the seed. Plant it in a good heart. Till up the ground. Make it good. Ask him, because some seed does fall on good ground, and we're going to look at that tomorrow when we come back.
Yeah, Lord,
tomorrow.
Give us a clean heart.
Yeah.
You know, that idea is, I love the agrarian stuff, you know, that society, that they understood this. They were very adept on agricultural issues and what it took to, you know, to grow a crop.
Yep.
You know?
Hey, well, listen, tomorrow, Woody's Barbecue, out at Solano Road, 6:30 a.m. in the morning. Here at the Salem Center at 12 o'clock. Tomorrow's Jersey Mike Day. So come join us for lunch. And Brad will be sharing. We look forward to hearing what he has to say on as we teach through. Again, Matthew 8:18-22. He'll be focusing on Colossians 1:18. Download the SWAT Radio app on the App Store and the Google Play Store. Brad?
Listen, join us tomorrow, as Doug said. We'd love to have you. If you're not involved in a men's study, come join us tomorrow. SWAT Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.